Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom. Welcome to Bible 101. I'm Brother Dewell. Thank you for joining me again. In this life, a lot of times, we think we know ourselves. We do things that, in the end, deceive ourselves. And some things are done intentionally. Our Heavenly Father not only looks at what we do, but He looks at why we do them. It's a show on TV, on Netflix. I have Netflix. Called House of Cards. And the main character, Frank Underwood. It's about Congress and about politics. The main character, Frank Underwood, does things in a very deceitful manner. So he has people thinking one way, thinking that what he's doing is good for them. But in the end, it's all about him. So something good might seem like it was good, but his intentions were self-motivated. So we're going to look at a couple things in the scriptures. And try to understand some stuff today. First scripture we're going to look at is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9. And it reads, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The Most High is letting us know we don't even know ourselves. Sometimes in our minds we do a thing which we think is good, which we perceive as good, but in the end, it's not good. And sometimes we just do a thing which to others seem is a good thing. But in our mind, we're being deceitful, and we're being deceitful to people. We were asked a question about one thing. Brother Yaquiel, brought to our attention is when you look at the purpose of questions. Questions are asked for one of two reasons. It's either to build up or to tear down. And when you look at the question that the serpent asked Eve, did God really say you couldn't eat from the tree of the garden? Did he really say that? It was to instill doubt. So, in that serpent's mind, he clearly had an intent and he had a purpose. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 again. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Verse 10. I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So the Most High understands why we do a thing. We might be able to fool men, but we can't fool the Most High. And he will have his day. So when we do things in a manner that is ill towards our brother or our sister, and we thinking we're getting away with it, we're wrong. We're getting away with it with men, but we're not getting away with it for the Most High. We're not. Let's look at the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be righteous and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So sometimes we say a thing in a religious way, use the scriptures, and we say a thing with the wrong intent, because Yahweh understands our intent. He understands the intent of a man. He understands when we speak these words to one another, even when we use the scriptures, the intent behind the words that you speak. He understands if you're taking this word, because the word itself says it's like a two-edged sword. He understands that you can cut a man down with the word. Even your brother. He understands that when you take certain scriptures and put them within a person's life, if you have the wrong intent, it can destroy them. So we have to be quite mindful of how we use this word. What is our intent? See, because the whole point is, when we do things with people, our intent has to be right. I used to study mechanics, diesel mechanics, and one of the first things that I learned is when an engine is functioning properly, right? If everything, because the engine is on what they call timing. If a valve opens late, it's going to close late. So you have to adjust the timing, adjust the engine and its timing. The same way that an engine is on a pattern, people develop patterns. We call them habits. You know, we're creatures of habits. You know? And sometimes we do things and we want to say we're righteous in our doings, but our intent is wrong. And Yahweh knows. He knows the inner workings, all of our inner workings. He knows when we say words to help and when we say words to hurt. He understands that. He knows. So today, let's talk a little bit more about this. Something that affects, you know, almost every congregation in this world. Almost every human in this world. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. And again, you know, with the book of James, we understand intent. Yahweh understands intent. Leviticus 19:16 reads, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am Yahweh." And that's going to be the focus of our talkings tonight. So I'll be talking about intent. A talebearer, in this sense, is a person who slanders somebody. We're not supposed to slander other people. We're not supposed to cast a bad light on other people. We're not supposed to go about telling stories that bring about bad lights to other people, that put people in a wrong light. Now, with that being said, if somebody tells you something that is detrimental to them, here's an example. Somebody says to you that they're having suicidal thoughts. The bad intent were to be, "Hey, you know XYZ, man. He crazy, man. Dude over there talking about killing himself and this, that, and another. He lost his mind. What are you thinking about, man? Man, just stay away from you. Yo, he got issues. He got problems." See, because now you're going about in a bad light, bringing about a bad light with this guy, a friend, supposedly. You know, well, let's say it like this. A man who feels, or a woman who feels so comfortable with you that they can reveal something intimate about themselves to you. Because another thing, we don't want to get caught up in semantics. Because a lot of semantics is going on nowadays where people who are friends or supposed to be friends will say they're not friends no more. They don't have friends. They got associates. That's not my friend. That's my associate. I don't have friends. Nah, I just know yo. I just know him. I just know her. They ain't my friend. But this person felt so close to you that they can reveal something intimate about themselves to you. And you're going forth bearing this tale in a bad light. Now you take that same scenario. A person reveals that they're having suicidal thoughts. "Look, man, XYZ is having suicidal thoughts. We really need to get him some help. Let's go talk to him. Let's try to give him some counseling. Let's try to do good for him." Where the intent is to get them in a mode where it's helpful to get those thoughts away from them. Because in the church, and for anybody who hasn't been following, any thought that you have that comes upon you, that is a form of energy. It is a spirit. The good ones and the bad ones. The evil ones work just like the good ones. So a choice has to be made. All right? But But let's not get back into that. Let's focus back on what we were talking about. Intent. And being a talebearer. What type of talebearer are you going to be? Are you going to be the one who, when a brother comes to you with an issue, you're looking out for the good of that brother? Or are you going to be that slanderer? The one that causes people to look at your brother in a bad light? Leviticus 19:16, again. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am Yahweh. And if you read the next verse, verse 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. And you'll find that a lot, that type of theme going on when you're talking about slandering. You hate that man in your heart. You hate that woman in your heart. When you do something like that, when you bear a tale, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. In other words, you got to make this thing right. You got to make it right. That's how you're supposed to go about it. If somebody brings something up to you, that's how you're supposed to go about it. You should want to help your brother. Verse 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Yahweh. So if you love this brother or sister the way you love yourself, the same way you don't want to shed yourself in a bad light, because we ain't got no problem making ourselves look good. None whatsoever. And we're going to see that. We don't have no problem ignoring our own frailties to make ourselves stay in a good light. We're supposed to do the same for our brother. Keep them in a good light. Now, if our brother wrongs us, are we just supposed to accept it? No, we have instructions on that. If our brother wrongs us, we're supposed to bring it to that brother's attention that he has wronged us. And as the words say, sometimes brother ain't gonna take it. Hey man, I ain't do nothing. That's what you're gonna hear from a brother. So the word says it like this: if a brother has aught with a brother, go to him, let him know what's up. I'm paraphrasing. That's what you're supposed to do. Between those two people who have the issue first, they're supposed to try to work it out. Between one another. If your brother will not hear you, bring two or three others as your witnesses, so all truth will be established. Now, when he say bring two or three others, those two or three others are to mediate. It don't mean that you go to two or three other brothers, tell them the tale first, because now you're being a talebearer. You're altering the thoughts of these people. You're bribing them. You're outside of the word when you do that. You're supposed to go to two or three brothers and say, look, brother, I got an issue with this man. I need you to mediate. If that brother say, hey, man, what's the issue? Don't tell him. Don't you tell him. Don't you be a talebearer. Because now you're casting light. You're casting a light, and you know how it is. You're going to tell a story from your perspective. Because you're hurt. You get two or three brothers as a witness. You don't go tell the story to two and three brothers and declare, well, look, yada, did this or XYZ, yada, I need you to come talk to this brother with me. No, that ain't how it go. Two or three brothers are your mediators. And the words say, when you're a mediator, you're not a mediator for one party, you're a mediator for both parties. That's what you are. So you had two or three brothers as witnesses that you came and brought to this brother. You said your part of the story. He said his part of the story. You find that this brother is at fault with you, and he's not trying to hear the two or three witnesses. Now you take him in front of the congregation. The congregation is not supposed to know about the issues that are coming up before them. Before you bring this brother before the congregation. When he comes up with the congregation is not supposed to have a prejudgment or prejudice against this man or woman. They're not supposed to know these things. So when he stands before the congregation, he literally, and we don't see this in our court systems nowadays, innocent until proven guilty. In your eyes, this man is supposed to have done nothing until you hear the facts. And if the facts come out and it's shown that he's done something, then you can tell this brother, hey man, you at fault. You're at fault. You're wrong. But we'll see, you know, because a lot of times we're going to go in Proverbs. But if you read what how it starts off, a lot of times he's talking about unjust balances. We're not supposed to have unjust balances. We're not supposed to have diverse weights, diverse measures. The weight of an ephod is supposed to be equal to the weight of an ephod. You're not supposed to cheat people. And that's what you're doing when we have prejudice. He who judges a matter before he hears the whole thing, it's foolishness to him, the words say. He prejudged a matter. The whole fact, all the facts didn't come out. All right? So after he hears the congregation, after he goes before the congregation, he said, if you don't hear the congregation, then you treat him as a publican. As a sinner. You treat him in that manner then. Because that brother just don't want to hear you. He just don't want to hear the word of the Most High. See, but we can't do what's called in this world jury tampering. When we have aught with a brother, you go spread a rumor to two or three other brothers and then bring those two or three other brothers that you didn't spread the rumor to as your witnesses. Can't do that. That's wrong. All right? Thou shalt not verse 18 again. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Yahweh. Now, let's go to Proverbs 18:8. And this is a very interesting verse. Proverbs 18:8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Now, what makes this verse so interesting is if you go to Proverbs 26:22, it reads, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Now, if it sounded like I said the exact same thing, it's because I did. Why did Yahweh inspire this man to write this verse twice? And if you look at it in the Hebrew, it's written the exact same way. Is he wanting us to understand that when we slander folks, it cut deep? You are doing something, man. This is something that we might not come back from. When we cut a person down in that manner, that relationships can seriously be injured, can be seriously mangled when these type of things happen. Us being talebearers, us being slanderers. This must be very important to the Most High for us to get. That he inspired this man to write this twice. The exact same words within his within his word. And it's within the same book. And, you know, we spoke on what Proverbs is. We spoke on it within our congregation with those, what Proverbs are. Pithy maxims. Which, if you translate that Latin term literally, it's a code of conduct for your mind. In other words, these Proverbs are telling us how to think and what to do in certain situations. That's why, to me, Proverbs and Psalms and Ecclesiastes, three of the most important books of the Bible, because it literally comes from, it takes you away from the history of the Bible and the going abouts of people. They're all of them are very, very, all of books are very important. But outside of prophecy, and prophecy showing what is to come and what has happened, when you talk about those three books, they're putting you in real life situations. And they're telling you how to deal with real life situations. Not saying that the history isn't telling you that. But these three books, when it talks about the renewing of your mind, being transformed, don't be conformed to this world, because the world will tell you to do this, that, and another. But I tell you to do this in this situation. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And part of that transformation is not being a talebearer. If you even look at TV, what we see on TV, that's all you see is a whole bunch of tale-bearing, gossiping, shows about gossiping, to the point where I don't even watch TV like that no more. A lot of stuff that I watch is on Netflix. I watch a cartoon here and there, something to make me laugh. There's no laughter in this world. You know, I watch documentaries. And I listen to my brothers and sisters on Blog Talk. You know, when this world is just something. And it's going to pot. It's going just like the words say in those prophecies. But I just thought it was very interesting that those two, that exact same verse came like that. All right. Proverbs chapter 11. We're going to start at verse 9. But matter of fact, before I go there, let me read something else. Back in Proverbs 26:22, it said, "The words of a tailbearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly." If you read the next verse, "Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross." Now, you have a potsherd which can cut you and hurt you. But it looks so beautiful to you because it has something that seems precious. Because silver, the dross of silver and the dross of gold is the impurities of it. That is what gets burnt off when you stick it within the furnace, the dross. So it's something that seems precious, but it's a potsherd. It's going to hurt you. It's going to cut you. It is a broken piece of clay that will hurt you. It's not something that you're supposed to handle, but it's so it seems so beautiful to you. These burning lips. With this wicked heart, this mouth that just wants to woo, it's so your lips are burning. You just gotta move them. That's the implication. In a heart of wickedness, gonna put something out there that seems pretty. It seems pretty, but it isn't. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. And it reads, "He that goes about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." This man is going about being a talebearer. He's telling all your secrets. So don't go for them flattering lips. In other words, when the brother say, "Hey man, want to hear something? Want to hear something good?" Tell him no. That's the type of person you don't deal with. See, but he has these flattering lips, and the word talks about people who have itching ears. And it speaks about people having itching ears, wanting to hear the things that they want to hear in relation to the word. But people just have itching ears in general. That's why there's so many magazines with scandals. Barack Obama, Michelle Obama messing with a Secret Service person, and these people getting divorced, and it's costing this immense amount of dollars, and this white guy turns into a white woman, and this white woman turns into a black woman, and all this foolishness going on. Transracialism. transgenderism, and everybody just eating it up. When there's real stuff going on in this world. But that's what they want to hear, those itching ears. Itching ears. So you got those people who got those flattering lips just wanting to tell a secret. Don't listen to them. They the type of people the word say, we don't meddle with those folk. Don't meddle with them. Don't have no dealings with them. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 26. And we're going to start at Proverbs 26. We're going to start at verse 18. And it reads, as a madman, because we want to get the whole idea, which I should have did before then. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is a man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport? So you have people who do things and say they just playing. You have people who say things and say, man, I'm just joking, man. But there's this old saying in the world, it's a lot of truth in the joke. Sometimes people say things and just say, you know, I ain't really mean it. But they did. And they said something that hurt and saying, well, I ain't really mean, but Yahweh knows the heart. He knew if you was just joking or not. And guess what? He is the avenger of all these things. You know? And that's why he calls him a madman. This man is throwing fire. He's shooting arrows at you. He's trying to kill you. And saying he's just joking. You would think that man crazy. He's shooting arrows at you. You never mind. What you doing? Oh, man, I was just joking. This type of person is... he's compared to a person that's deceiving his neighbor or deceiving his brother. Saying one thing, doing another. Saying one thing, and we look at a hypocrite as that type of person. And we're going to talk about them too. But when we say one thing and mean another, we're also being hypocritical. It's not just in your actions. As what the Most High has explained to us. How do you explain that to us? He said, look, man, this is what the words say. Thou shalt not kill. But I'm telling you, if you hate your brother in your heart, you already committed murder. You're guilty of that. So it's not just in your actions, it's in your thoughts. Why he wants to start there? So your thought won't become that action. Now, we might look at that like, oh, well, I might not physically take his life. But guess what? If you're being a talebearer and you're causing him to be seen in a different light to people, guess what you're doing? You're taking his life. You're just as guilty of murder. Why? Because you're murdering the perception of him within others. So if one of the stories that you said causes a person to treat another person in a bad manner because Becky said, or Fred said, or Jimmy said, and Joni said, you're just as guilty of murder. You might as well took the knife and cut his throat. Because that's what you did spiritually to him. No, I'm not advocating murder. Please understand that. But that's what you did spiritually to him. All right. Verse 18 again. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is a man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, Am not I in sport? Verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Do we understand what talebearing does? It causes problems. It causes strife. And the word said, where there's envy, strife, contentions. Are ye not carnal? It causes carnality, in other words. And we cannot walk in the spirit if we're walking in carnality, which we're asked to do, commanded to do. To walk in the spirit. You walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you do that. So the opposite is also true. If you walk in carnality, if you walk in the flesh, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the spirit. Because the spirit has lust too. It has desires too. It wants for you. Just like this flesh wants for you. Verse 20 again, where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So if you got a fire going, you got some coals going, keep that fire going, you throw more coals on it. You got fire going, you want to keep it going, it's made out of wood, you throw more wood on it. You got strife going, and if you want to keep that strife going, you bring that contentious man in. How important is it for us to bridle this tongue? And even more so, bridle our thoughts. Bridle the way we think. Proverbs chapter 11. I'm sorry about that. Proverbs chapter 11, we're going to start at verse 9. And it reads, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. So you have a person who says one thing. Oh, huh. Told Alba, thank you for bringing me that explanation. There was a show that used to come on TV called In Living Color. I'm telling my age now. Matter of fact, if you have YouTube, I believe it's still some of the things on YouTube. And they had this one character on there. It was an old black woman that the sister played. And I forget her name. But what she would do, she would sit up there and would talk to people, be all nice to them, like, "Hey, girl, how you doing? Yeah, that's a nice baby. Uh-huh, that baby's so pretty." Mm-hmm. And then they would act like the person walked off, and she would talk, "That's the ugliest baby in the world. Oh, my goodness. I can't stand that old big-head baby." And she would do that for the whole skit. And you think about that hypocritical person destroying somebody with his mouth. That's right. Everything good, man. Everything all right. Everything cool, yada, yada, yada. That person walk off. Now you go tell this person, "Man, I can't stand that Negro. Oh, that Negro there." You're destroying your brother or your neighbor with your mouth. "But through knowledge shall the just be delivered." Verse 10. "When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked." Hear what he's talking about. "He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace." Sometimes we don't understand the thing. Sometimes people do things that we just don't get. They act in manners that we just don't get. They act and they do things that we just cannot get with. We can't do it. "I don't understand why that brother did this. I got it. Can't stand it when he do that. I don't even know why he do these things." Because we're void of wisdom. But the words say, "A man of understanding holdeth his peace." A man of understanding is going to keep it together. A man of understanding understands this thing. Something that I might have said earlier, but here's the bottom line with a lot of stuff. We want people to accept our doo-doo, but we won't accept theirs. We don't want to accept theirs. We want people to accept all the doo-doo about us, but we don't want to accept none of theirs. And how Yahweh showed me that? Literally. When we go to the bathroom and we relieve ourselves, we can stand the smell of our own doo-doo most of the time. But let somebody come into a stall beside you and do the exact same thing that you're doing, you act like it's the worst thing in the world. They're doing the exact same thing that you're doing. And you just act like, "Oh my God, I can't get." You speed up, do whatever it is it takes to get up out of there as fast as you can. And the same thing goes for them. Because literally, we'll accept our own doo-doo, but nobody else's. "He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace." Verse 13. "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." So do you understand what the word is talking about us spiritually when we reveal these secrets? See, because this is something, and in this scenario here, it's talking about telling somebody something in confidence. There are times when you can tell a brother or something, or tell a brother or sister something in confidence, and they're not supposed to repeat it. That is the confidence that you're supposed to have between one another. How do we know that? Jonathan made a covenant with David. Now, at this time, Saul, Jonathan's father, was out looking to kill David. But Jonathan and David loved each other so much. And when I say loved each other, they loved each other as family, as brothers. So much that Jonathan went up against his father. I'm not going to give you over to my father, David. I'm not going to do that. And David loved Jonathan and trusted Jonathan so much that he went to Jonathan on several different occasions while Jonathan's father was trying to slay him. Jonathan never gave him up, and David didn't have a problem going to Jonathan, because he knew that his brother, his friend, wasn't going to give him up. He knew that his friend wasn't going to reveal his secret. Hey, man, stay right here, David. David, go. I wish I had the scenario with me. But Jonathan told David that he would go up, and because David was supposed to sit at the table and eat dinner with Saul. But Saul was trying to kill him. So they were talking about how David not being there, Saul was going to notice this. So Jonathan said, look, man, this is what I want you to do. Stay right here. I'm going to go up, eat dinner with my father, and ask him, is he still trying to kill you? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back down here. I'm going to give a signal, and whatever the signal is, that's how you're going to know if he's still trying to kill you or not. So stay right here. I'll be back. And he went up, did what he said he was going to do, came back and gave him the signal. David was still right there, because he understood that his brother wasn't going to give him up. That's how much confidence, that's how much faith, and that's the type of spirit that he understood that was on Jonathan, that his brother wasn't going to give him up. I could tell this brother anything, and he ain't going to repeat it. My secret is safe with him. I could tell this brother anything, and he's not going to betray me. He has a faithful spirit, a sure spirit. Right? So it's nothing the matter with telling somebody something in confidence. Again, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. All right. Now, let's look at a couple incidents within the life of the Messiah. Excuse me. We're going to start Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. And it reads, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye shall judge, ye shall be judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, don't judge nobody. Because when you judge people, you're going to get judged. And however you judge a person is how they're going to judge you. It's going to come back to you. If you judge a person harshly, expect harsh judgment, in other words. And vice versa, all right? Verse 3. And here's what we was looking at. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? So in other words, and to get a clear picture of what he's talking about, the word mote in the Greek, your Greek section, number 2595, this word is karphos. And it means a dry twig or straw. So that's what's in your eye, right? That's what's in your brother's eye. The word beam in your Greek section, number 1385, this word is dakos. And it means a stick of timber. And it's coming from another word in your Greek. When it comes from another word, which means to receive. All right. And that word is number 1209. And that word is dekoami. Dekamahi. Dekamahi. All right. And it means to receive in various applications, figuratively or literally. In other words, it's talking about something that you can take hold of by your hand. So you have basically what the Most High, what Yahweh is saying, excuse me, what Yahushua is saying, is that you got a 10-foot long 2x4 in your eye, and your brother has a piece of sawdust in his eye, and you can see the piece of sawdust in your brother's eye, but you don't see this 2x4 hanging out of your eye. You are considering the sawdust that's in your brother's eye. All right? But you got this 2x4 hanging out of yours. Verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye. So you can say, look, man, let me get that little sawdust off of you. And your brother looking at you like, bro, you got a whole beam, and you got a 2x4, you got a lumber yard in your eye. And you worrying about this little, okay, go ahead, take it out of my eye, please. Thank you, bro. And never once are you talking about the beam that's sticking out of yours. Verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine eye, thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. In other words, work on you. Stop worrying about everybody else. If you hear something about somebody, oh man, I'm going to just pray for that brother. Or give that brother helpful advice. don't run around being a talebearer to other people because other people know your dung too. Your parash too. Most of the time, the people that you're bearing your tails to see that beam hanging out of your eye. You know, you can't see clearly with a whole beam hanging out of your eye. You can't do it. Let's look at another incident. In the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse, starting at verse 15, and it reads, Then went the Pharisees, and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Number one, intentions were wrong from the beginning, but Yahweh tries the heart. Yahweh searches the reins. He does that. He understands your intentions. Verse 15 again. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Verse 16. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know thou art true, and teachest the way of Yah in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. We don't deal with people with these flattering tongues. That's what they're doing here. Trying to soften them up. Did God really say? Did he really say you couldn't eat from that tree? Did he really say that? Giving you all these little flat out fake compliments. Don't care nothing about you. But Yahweh searches the heart. He understood the intent of these things. Excuse me. Verse 17. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? So this is how he's going to. Did you see the whole thing unfold? We know you don't care nothing about no man. We know that you don't regard no people. You know what I'm saying? We know that. We know these things. You don't regard no people. You ain't worrying about no man. All right? We know that what you're going to teach, you're going to say things that is of Yah, of the Most High. And you're true to that. You know? And whatever, everything you're saying is the truth. You know what I'm saying? So let me ask you this question. Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we or shouldn't we? What do you think? What would it say? Verse 18. But Yahushua perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt me, ye hypocrites? Why do you call them hypocrites? Because if you knew all of these things, you would know my answer. And on top of that, you trying to flatter me with this crap. Man, you don't even think I didn't see this coming. You know who I am? I saw this a mile away. And because I don't care anything about a man and because I don't care anything. When I say care anything, I mean, I don't show favoritism to men. That's what I mean by care anything about men. So before I even get started with that and hear people, oh, God don't care about men. Hold up. He doesn't favor men. And to show that, he told Peter, one of his disciples, where Peter said something about him not being crucified. He told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. That's what he told Peter. Okay? Which really tore Peter head up. Whoa, wait a minute. You call me Satan? Wait a minute. But that's what I mean. And forgive me for laughing. But I just, forgive me for laughing. But Most High isn't worrying about the favor. He doesn't show favoritism to men. That's what I mean by he doesn't care about men. Verse 18. But Yahushua perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt me? Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, who is this image and superscription? Who's that on that coin? They said unto him, Caesar. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto Yah the things which are Yah's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. So the Most High didn't get caught up in the hype. He understood what they were trying to do. But Yahweh understands the intent of man. So, in closing, we really need to understand our intent. We need to stop deceiving ourselves when we do a thing. Is your intent, what it all boils down to, do you love your brother or not? Do you love your sister or not? If you do, don't do these evil things, especially tail burn, because you're murdering them. You are murdering your brother and your sister. If a brother or a sister has faulted you in any way, go to that brother, go to that sister, and tell them. Work it out. Go through the prescribed steps that the Most High has put before us and hold no malice in your heart. Because Yahweh understands the heart. Even when you bring in that brother or that sister before the others, before the congregation, if it's not to solve the issue, and it's just to show that brother up, Yahweh understands the heart. So, thank you for joining me. This has been Bible 101. I'm Brother D.O.L. And I bid you shalom.
But kill every boy. But a child named Moses was one that God chose to be the vessel sent into Egypt to deliver Israel and set the captives free. You see, God took a nobody, made him a somebody. Told Pharaoh,
what he tell him?
Tell him my people go.
No matter what you do today, no matter what you say today, no matter what you think today,
what you gonna say?
Let my people go.
Unfortunately, we still ain't free, you see. You think racism is ghost like Casper? Don't forget what just happened down in Jasper. I ask you why the baby's crying and daddy's dying. From the east side to the west side, to the south side, genocide. You can't hide from the fact, all the modern day pharaohs I attack. And I stack the knowledge inside my mind, packed heat like a nine. The power from above I find, rise up my people, cause it's time. Come on, come on. That's right. What you gonna tell him now?
Let my people go. No matter what you do today, no matter what you say today,
that's right.
No matter what you make today, let my people go.
Let the band play. Let the band play. Let the band play. That's right. That's right. Let the band play. Let the band play. Let the band play. Check it out. The moral of the story is while you playing games trying to survive. As long as you spelling that mess, doing that mess, you keeping Pharaoh alive. Don't hide from the matter, whose pockets are really getting fatter. Some churches are quick to say, man, but they ain't that quick to help a man.
Well,
I don't understand. If that's your brother, love your brother. Know your brother, show your brother, no matter what color. Don't hate one and love the other. My people, victory is yours, and Pharaoh's defeated. If you don't know the book, read it. No matter what you do to me,
no matter what you say to me,
no matter what you make of me,
let my people go.
Let my people, let my people go.
Carol, can you hear me?
Let my people, let my people.
From the White House to the Black House. This song is dedicated to everybody who's still in bondage by the system, by the powers that be. Break those chains of ignorance. Recognize who you are and whose you are. And if you don't know, now you know. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
I said, can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Can I get one witness?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel
you.
Let's get out of Egypt. Come on. Come on. Let the band play. Let the band play. Moses.